Eoch tanuyap, kuige iwans kuyens na. Hi everybody, my name is kuige iwans. I'm a member of the Squamish Nation and the Yagalanis clan of the Haida Nation. You're listening to Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. We live, work, play, and broadcast from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations.
Oh, the prairie lights are burning bright, Chinook wind is moving in, tomorrow night I'll be Alberta bound. Though I've done the best I could, my old luck ain't been so good, and tomorrow night I'll be Alberta bound. No one I met could ever forget the Rocky Mountain sunset, it's a pleasure just to be Alberta bound. I long to see my next of kin, to know what kind of shape they're in. Tomorrow night I'll be Alberta bound. Alberta bound, Alberta bound. It's good to be Alberta bound. Alberta bound, Alberta bound. It's good to be Alberta bound.
This is Each for All, the Cooperative Connection, your weekly report on the cooperative sector, proudly broadcasting on Vancouver Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM, and online at cooperadio.org. I'm Sandy Goldman. Do you know what's always the top issue for co-ops year after year in the annual survey? If you guessed awareness of the sector, you'd be right. Corrine Rempel, Executive Director of the Alberta Community Co-op Association, decided that maybe it was time to tell the co-op story differently and reach the change makers of tomorrow, the youth we keep wanting to engage, and introduce them to a movement that puts people and planet before profit, that cares about community, and provides ownership that actually means something. Business Not As Usual is a national campaign born in Alberta, designed to help young people see themselves as builders of the kind of future they value. I spoke with Corrine about the road she took to create a different conversation about co-ops and the collaborators who joined her along the way. Here's our discussion.
There's a long journey behind the, you know, where we arrived at the Business Not As Usual campaign. And I think for me, the biggest challenge was I was meeting with an elected official, and you know, she was asking some tough questions and posing, like, you know, like challenging me in a way that I just couldn't ignore. So, you know, how are we telling the story about co-ops? Who are we telling it to? You know, the story's been told, but it's not getting out there. You know, where could we brush off some dust and try things a little bit differently? And after leaving that conversation with her, I went for a really long walk along the river there in downtown Edmonton and just thought about what she had to say. And I thought, you know, that's a challenge. And I'm always up for taking on challenges. And I think I walked for probably about an hour and a half, and I talked, in my mind, I was thinking about, you know, different marketing campaigns that seem to have just struck gold. And the two that came to my mind was the Got Milk campaign. That was one of the big ones. And I just, and also the Movember, right? So here we've created a whole conversation around men's health through one kind of grassroots effort. And I thought maybe we could take those two and just try and figure out a way, like, what were the golden pieces that walked out of that? And so that was kind of my starting point. And I really thought, you know, we have this virtual world, and the exact people that we want to connect with are very active in this virtual world, you know, internet, social media. And I know I was told, like, when I first presented the idea, I was told, or I heard a lot of, well, we've tried this before. And that is also nothing that daunts me. You know, we've tried it before, but we didn't have success. So again, were we saying the wrong words? Were we in the wrong places? So through some funding that I received from the province of Alberta, and also some support with the Alberta Cooperative Energy, and also with FCL, Federated Co-ops, I was able to dig into creating this campaign, and we talk about it as being a campaign. So it's not just, you know, an event. It's something beyond that, and that's where we birthed this idea.
The idea of business not as usual.
Yeah, business not as usual. Yes,
So
and it,
tell us more about that, because that's a big piece of what you're doing. Business not as usual. Co-ops don't do business as usual.
That's right.
And so what is the essence of that? What are you trying to say, and how are you implementing that campaign?
Yeah. So the whole idea came up with, who are we wanting to have a conversation with, right? So the younger generation, and we talk about that all the time. Like, how do we reach them? It's such a big world, and how do we connect with them? And really, it really started in Alberta. I brought the idea to the provincial association meeting that CMC hosts, and people liked that. It resonated with them, and so really that idea, which was a spark, got picked up across na nationally. And the whole idea behind Business Not As Usual is to create kind of, I want to say, like a story about some co-ops across Canada, and just talking about the business model as an option. And I think the biggest challenge for me was, you know, when you talk to business students or university students who should be hearing about the business model, they're not hearing about it. And that was a big challenge too, right? So how can we create this conversation? Where can we have this conversation? And how can we draw them in? And that's where the whole Business Not As Usual campaign came from. And so we just started the conversation virtually. The stories that we tell, it's not about, you know, everyone gets one vote, and, you know, there's a board, and so we try to really avoid the governance piece of co-ops, even though that is very much the essence. It's just wasn't really what we thought we wanted to rest this campaign on, like bring them in, get them interested. And the other piece too was just knowing that this model, it, you know, we've got a generation of young people who grew up on the project-based learning models at school.
Right.
Very community oriented. Maybe it's not necessarily, I mean, a lot of them say, well, it's not, you know, about making money, and, you know, the billions of dollars that you can bring in. It's more about, like, how can I give back to the community? Which, you know, some people, as we get a little bit older, we can be a little jaded or cynical about that statement. I think some of us had that when we graduated, you know, from high school, university. But it seems when you look at, you know, even how they market to this generation, it is very kind of grassroots. I can't grasp at a better word, but just trying to get into that heart piece.
I'm just going to add here, I think so much of what can attract young people, any person actually, but particularly young people, are the cooperative values. I think when you're talking about, for example, concern for community, that's a cooperative value. And many young people want work or a calling that aligns with their values of caring about each other, of wanting to make a difference. Yes, wanting to have an income, caring about the environment, and because they're the ones who are going to have to live through what is, you know, already quite a mess right now. And they want work that means something to them, not just, you know, getting a paycheck. That's a big generalization, but I think that's been teased out in a real way. And so I would think that trying to attract young people, this is an ideal way to be involved. And some of the new co-ops that are being created, these days are very aligned with those values, especially worker co-ops. So I think by reaching out to people in that regard, as you say, rather the governance piece is important, but the values are the ones I think that would bring people in. Now, at your conference, annual conference in the fall, you had David Coletto of Abacus Data come and present. What insights did he give you into, I don't know, where you were looking particularly at young people or who might be attracted to the model, or what surveys has he done? What are some of the insights that he shared that have guided you going forward or that will guide you?
Yeah, so I mean, when he came to the conference, so he presented as he was our keynote for the Business Not As Usual kickoff event.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so and we had him speak, and he really resonated with, the young people that were there. So I like maybe we talk a little bit about how we got the young people into this room. So
Sure.
I hired a standout young person, Rebecca McKnight, and she started working on the virtual and the gathering of the people. We had about a month and a half to bring it from, concept to the kickoff. The challenge was that we were wanting to, get X amount of people in the room, and we thought, well, we would settle with 500, right? Like that was where we were. And we worked, on top of it, we were putting together a conference. We also had I was going on tour and visiting, I think I went to about six or seven communities in a month's time. And then we had this event on during Co-op Week. And
And this was a virtual event.
the first event for Business Not As Usual is a virtual event.
Right.
Prior to the event, I spent a lot of time reaching out to try and find, the big name and who would we settle with. And I just happened to be at a conference where David was presenting, and I thought, I was sitting around with some younger people at the table, and I had been talking to them loosely about this business, not as usual idea. And when David finished, there was two young people, marketing, they worked for co-ops in Saskatchewan, and they just turned to me and they said, "That's the guy. That's the guy you need to get." And like they really resonated with his message. And I'm trying to think what his specific was. Oh gosh, you put me on the spot. So he just seemed to connect with that group, and I thought, okay, I'm gonna explore this a little bit further. And David was willing to come and do or virtually attend and do this presentation. So things kind of just, we sort of started moving into this direction of hosting this event. We had David speak. We also had a number of primarily worker co-ops. So the heads of or kind of the designated person came and shared the co-op model. And we had over, gosh, I think we had over 600, almost 700 people registered to attend our kickoff event. And that was from coast to coast. And that was really exciting to see. I don't think the people who, were kind of watching from a side thought that we were going to get those numbers. And we did.
Those are incredible numbers for this. Really, they're quite impressive.
And we were wanted to just share that story, like how the co-op model is working in. And primarily one of the presenters, it was a BC co-op, and I wish I could remember the name of it. But it was a group of female
Right, the cleaning co-op.
cleaning co-op. That's correct.
Yes.
Their story is remarkable. They were doing the work and really not, on the on the work was being done on their backs and weren't really benefiting from it. And they created the worker co-op, the cleaning co-op as a worker co-op, and just how they've been able to grow it. It's just commendable.
It
And I
is.
think,
It's
yeah, when you see
not
stories like that, you're like, okay, that's the story that we want to tell. We want to
right.
those stories that are impacting the communities. And if you go to businessnotasusual, .ca, you can see how we're telling those stories. You know, it's not, again, it's not about the governance. It's not about the shoulds and the should nots. It's just about here's a piece. And I think that's the part for me that I really wanted to massage and bring to present to create that conversation.
You know, one of the we hope to speak to the cleaning co-op in a few weeks because that's a remarkable story. Another story across Canada that's kind of born out of, you know, I often find co-ops grow out of necessity, right? There's a problem and people decide to work together to solve it. And sometimes they use a co-op model and sometimes they create a nonprofit or other endeavor. There's a gal named Danielle Turpin in Ontario, in Peterborough region, and she was a personal support worker in long-term care during COVID. And we know what happened to seniors in long-term care and the workers. And she had just had it because her residents were not getting the care they needed and being left unattended and losing a lot of dignity from, you know, having to wait. And she decided to leave and start a worker co-op for personal support workers. And now that's being emulated elsewhere in the province and in the country, similar to the cleaning co-op in that regard. They're doing the work. Why not have a say? And also, most of the workers were women, racialized women. And so now they're being empowered. Another story where co-ops are giving back to the community, and this is a new co newer co-op, is the Newfound Sand Co-op that's recycling glass in Newfoundland. And that was born out of the Newfoundland Co-op Federation's incubator program, where they supported people who were interested in starting co-ops. Is that something that ACCA might undertake as an incubator program for interested cooperative folks who want to, you know, kind of get the support and do the learning to maybe start up?
Yeah, so our next effort. So what we took from the session, the first kickoff session, was that they wanted to learn more about co-ops or get involved in one. So again, we've got young people from across Canada attending this first session, and it's hard because, you know, my boundaries are Alberta. So we're partnering with cooperatives first to run a three-part session starting the last Tuesday in January. We're going to be introducing you know, how exactly that in a co-op incubator, but also maybe a little bit more than that in the sense of, you know, what are the unique differences of running a co-op. So it's and of course, that's a virtual session, so people are invited to attend that. And this is going to be kind of our next step. And then we do have kind of we're thinking about what it's going to look like for 2026 to 2029 for Business Not As Usual. I feel like we made some huge gains. You know, we definitely knocked the door down. I think the biggest struggle for a lot of the provincial associations and anybody that's in the education world was, you know, we just can't get into the universities and impact the education, the curriculum. And again, I'm like, okay, well, let's think of an alternative. You know, we can't, if our front door knock's not going to get answered, let's go around the back and figure a way to drill in. And I feel like that's what Business Not As Usual is doing. It's connecting with young people. I mean, and other, I mean, I will say young people, but there's definitely an age, it's a continuum that's attending the sessions.
And we need them because, you know, they're the next generation of co-op leaders. I mean,
Absolutely.
it's very important to cultivate, you know, youth, to engage youth in the co-op model. Corinne, You in this piece that you wrote at the end of December, it's called 55,650 is a number that matters. Tell us the relevance of that number.
That number came from a combination of who we were telling the story to through primarily L through ACCA, but because again, business not as usual had a more of an expansion. So, who attended the virtual event for business not as usual? And I said that was around 600 viewers. Now that number, that 55,650, now that we've had a chance to kind of the dust has settled, it's actually higher than that, but it's still, I mean, in my opinion, let's talk about that number because that's a great number. And then we had so again, launched the website September 1st, launched our marketing campaign for Business Not As Usual. And we are only on Instagram with Business Not As Usual. And we've had in the first 6 weeks, we had 2,300 visitors to our website, and we had 38,000 hits on our Instagram account.
Oh, it's incredible. And that came out of after the conference, after the initial kickoff.
That came in 6 weeks. We haven't
That's
gone back to,
amazing.
we haven't gone, I haven't gone back to count yet.
Right.
Quite honestly, I was feeling a little exhausted at the end of
Sure.
the year. But yeah, and then the tour stops. We, you know, created that conversation continuing there. We actually did the kickoff event for Business Not As Usual at Augustana Campus, which is in Camrose. It's an extension of University of Alberta. And we had, you know, some students in the room, as well as we attended, like we hosted the virtual event. So it just kind of grows. And again, those numbers are huge, especially that 38,000 on Instagram. Like, why would we walk away from that story? And when I say we, I think of my provincial and provincial association partners, as well as CMC, who are, you know, intrigued by this opportunity and willing and the willingness to say, hey, I don't know where this is really going to go, but I'm here to back you up and I'm here for the ride. So I really appreciated the support that we received.
Yes, you know, this is co-ops helping co-ops, right? It's so important, and to have yeah, great like partners. You talk about your legacy builders in Alberta that are, you know, pitching in with significant dollars to fund things like your, you know, co-op connection tours. All those things cost money, and business not as usual, and all the various services, you know, that you provide to members of ACCA. It's really quite something. And then having Cooperatives First, which is just an amazing, I think, organization, born out of FCL, and a study that was done for FCL by the Center for the Study of Co-ops. I mean, the more I learn about the last 10 years, for example, in the cooperative world, the more heartened I am about these partnerships, right? And now you've got Cooperatives First, you know, taking your work for, you know, business not as usual interested parties to the next level, right? Now they can get the training. I mean, it's fantastic. And FCL is funding them, and they're helping to develop co-ops across, you know, rural and indigenous communities. I mean, it just goes on and on. So it's very heartening and very exciting what you're doing there, Corinne. As 2026 unfolds, what are the next things that you have on the horizon going forward? I know you have a leadership training course starting this week, and will there be more co-op tours, or tell us a bit about what's ahead?
Now the funding I received last year, which kind of kicked off the whole work in a way that was a we were able to get things done because we received that funding, and the funding was through the Alberta government as the Northern Regional Economic Development. And it was a matching grant. And so the conversation, once I applied for the NRAD grant, I started it with my, you know, the Alberta cooperative community. And I just, you know, like, let's, like, what if, right? So I do have, we have members, and our members' dues, you know, it covers just enough to do, you know, the baseline work. And we wanted to take it to that next level. And then that's where we launched the Legacy Builders program, because I know that our members are very generous with their time and their support and you know, wanting to support, but I think like the funds, and I think they needed something to grab onto. And so when I launched the Legacy Builders program, I just talked about, you know, it's that work beyond, you know, creating
Day to
that
day.
energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also said too, like, I don't know what this is going to look like. And so a lot of them gave me the funds, just believing, you know, that maybe I had the moxie, the drive, the desire to get what I was saying, you know, and what I was saying was kind of, you know, big ideas. It wasn't like, oh, I had a plan from A to Z. And I really appreciated that they were like, yes, this is the type of thing that we want to do in our co-op, you know, in the cooperative ecosystem, right? Let's build some energy. Let's build some interest. You know, if we can't get into the curriculum, let's try the conversation a different way. And so it was very generous that they said, yep, we're going to back you. And then when we received the funding, then that, you know, that took us another step forward. So we were able to do the tours. So what is 2026 going to look like? It, you know, we're talking now about how do we continue that conversation with the younger generation. So, you know, do you know about job opportunities in the cooperative sector? Do you know about co-ops? You know, do you know how, you know, there's some supports if you want to create a co-op? Also opportunities in on boards. You know, and how does that look like? Because not, you know, boards are saying to me that, or sorry, co-ops are saying to me that their boards are not, the change isn't happening in the sense of, you know, they've got a lot of older board members, but they need to see some new energy coming in. So sharing those opportunities. And so it's kind of that, how do we create those, connect those dots? Because there are some dots of opportunity. So that's the one thing that we're talking about for young people. I think the other thing too for us is like the sector, continuing to build and break down some of those, maybe, I don't want to say fences. I mean, there probably are some fences there, boundaries, but to realize like I am a co-op and I'm part of this ecosystem. You know, when we go to the provincial government and we are kind of getting blank stares about the co-op, you know, cooperative business model being a value add in the province, that's a problem. So how do we create those conversations with our elected officials, like taking that another step? And then just building energy, like blowing dust off the model and saying, you know, we're relevant. We bring, and let's create that conversation around it. So lots of things.
Lots of things, but again, those are all issues of raising awareness. And it sounds like you're off to a flying start with a really successful business, not as usual campaign, co-op tours, and other things in 2025. You know, I've been doing a bit of reading about co-ops in your province. I know of a number of them, and we have talked to them. But I'm really moved by the cooperative spirit in rural locations and these rural electrification co-ops and other ones where they're providing various utilities to people. And I don't know, I just love that prairie spirit. I think it's great. And then in the urban settings, co-ops like the Multicultural Health Brokers Co-op, helping new Canadians, and then the Battle River Railway Co-op, you know, further north, and what they've been doing. And so we really are very appreciative of your time and laying out a bit of this work that ACCA is attending to. It's really cutting edge. And I hope that through Business Not As Usual across the country that others can grab hold and use these opportunities to build awareness of the co-op sector. That was Corrine Rempel, Executive Director of the Alberta Community Co-op Association. For more information about Business Not As Usual, go to businessnotasusual.ca. Let's take a break, then come back with more of Each for All, the Cooperative Connection on Vancouver Co-op Radio.
He came, she smiled. She thought she had him tame, but he was just as wild, eaten from her hand at last. Wild, clean, confessed. In the dark, he could see the trap that was lying in her sweet company. In the night, it snowed. Fast tracks in the powder wide, leading down to the road, winding from her tender grasp. Wild things confessed. Wild things confessed.
.5 means non-commercial, listener-powered, community radio. 100.5 means music, public affairs,
I have a dream,
and arts programming.
I wish I loved the human race. I wish I loved its city face.
You won't find anywhere else on the radio dial. 100.5 is not owned by a huge corporation. We are owned and operated by people like you, by your community. 100.5 CFRO Vancouver Cooperative Radio. Find our complete program schedule at cooperadio.org.
Give me that!
It's mine!
I want it!
No, it's mine!
No, give it to me!
You have to give it back!
Stop! Instead of fighting, try working together. Honestly, openly, in a spirit of caring for others. And tune in to Each for All, the Cooperative Connection. Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. on CFRO 100.5 FM, on your dial and online at cooperadio.org. Try cooperating. You'll feel better for it.
And we're back. You're listening to Each for All, the Cooperative Connection on Vancouver Co-op Radio 100.5 FM and online at cooperadio.org. Kristen Murray is a cooperative developer with the Newfoundland and Labrador Federation of Co-ops. She was recognized as Young Cooperator of the Year by Co-ops and Mutuals Canada in 2023 and is one of the organization's emerging young cooperators. NLFC is one of the supporters of Business Not As Usual, and Kristen shared her story of finding her way to the co-op sector at the kickoff event last October. I caught up with Kristen recently to learn more about her journey and how co-ops align with her values. Have a listen.
I am going to start back where a lot of people start their careers, as being like coming into university age, 18, 19, looking for the path of education. And for me, that meant higher education at Memorial University. And I just felt drawn. I feel as though I don't have the other words to say it at this point to enroll in business school specifically. And I guess I was interested in how I could help help others through the organizational function of having a business or an entity that is like there and ready to help folks in the world. And I guess that's all I knew at that point. And so going through business school was interesting. I, you know, was exposed to a lot of different peers and as well instructors, faculty, and guests as well through the university. I guess what ended up happening was I realized that a lot of what I was learning in the classroom was kind of different from how I felt internally in terms of my values and what I ultimately wanted to end up doing, which was just not in alignment with most of my other peers. With exceptions, of course, I did find like-minded people, and I did find those like-minded people in particular through an organization, a student-run organization at my university called Enactus. And many universities around the world have an Enactus team. It's a global network of student-run societies that the goal is to start and run social enterprises and to inspire others to take on a similar type of role in their community whereby they're creating something that has real value and real impact to others and has a social driver to it, but as well has an economic reality. So there's a marriage, and that's where I learned about social enterprise, that is a you know, core tenet in my life, is what it's become, this notion, this idea of a social enterprise. So that is a broad term, and it's a theory and a practice. But as I went along, I realized that was where I wanted to be and where I wanted to go. So the university had a master's program at the time that I was interested in. And it was an MBA in social enterprise and entrepreneurship.
Can I just jump in for a sec,
yes.
Kristen? MBA in social enterprise, or including social enterprise as a concept, is quite relevant. And I imagine there aren't too many that encompass that that practice. Was that at Memorial in St. John's?
My understanding, it was like the first of its kind. I don't know in what scope, but you know, definitely a unique and rare program for what it was. Unfortunately, they're not running it anymore for various reasons. I'm not privy to all of them, but just to say that at the time it was offered, and I was going to be only in the third cohort of it, a very new, meant to be a very immersive program. We did lots of field trips, case studies. Living lab was a common phrase used during that program. So we were meeting a lot of social people in social enterprise, not only in our province, but outside of it as well. We got to tune into the Social Enterprise World Forum at one point. Like, we were really exposed to a lot, and we're, you know, encouraged to think about the role we wanted to play in the area we wanted to make an impact in, as opposed to how we were going to get a job and how we were going to make money. Like, the intent was about our values and trying to find what was our passion. So I really loved that and felt very supported in that program.
Can I ask you, what were some of the social enterprises, either locally or others, that really stood out to you during that time? Can you give our audience a few examples of sort of how that works and how people are applying their values and a desire to make a difference with also running a business that gives back?
Yes, it's funny you say that, because I remember making a list of all the ones that I had learned about or met, and as I was deciding to on which I would approach for my work term, because the program also, it's a 1-year intensive program with a work term at the end. And so all the while I'm thinking, where am I going to do this placement? and I was really trying to find somewhere. And it was less about trying to apply for a job. And we were encouraged to actually approach the organization and say, these are my areas of interest and expertise. Can we work together? Can I help any applying for funding to try to, you know, have me work with you? Like, I want to work with you. So it kind of turned, you know, the idea that you should, you know, everyone is just applying for jobs all the time on its head. Like, I was encouraged to start with my passions and what I wanted to be doing. So I made a list, and some of the ones that I was thinking about at the time included Fishing for Success. They included Choices for Youth, the Pie Farm, which is up in Labrador, is very interesting as well. Shorefast, just to name a few. They're all local in Newfoundland and Labrador. But what they all had in common was the social mission was the driver, and any economic activities they were engaged in was all to go back into the organization to help, you know, better serve people. So amazing, you know, and really what it came down to was what sector was I interested in? Because I understood that I wanted to be in that kind of a organization, but I wasn't, I've never been someone who has kind of like a specific interest, I'll say. I've realized now sitting right here with you that I'm definitely a generalist. I really like being a generalist, but being, you know, open and learning from others who do have a lot of particular specialties. And I love that, but that was never my interest, nor felt like that was me. So what I ended up doing was I actually looked inward and looked at what I was already doing. So an organization I was already a part of was the Social Justice Cooperative. So I had been a member and a board member for a while. Yes.
I was just going to say, we spoke to them a number of years ago. Yeah. They were one of the first co-ops in your province that we spoke to. Cool. And they were doing some really cutting edge things. It was really terrific. So you got involved with them, and and you begin to learn about the co-op sector in a way through how they organize themselves as a co-op.
I agree. I learned a lot about the organization and the role that the cooperative movement can play in communities. It's a very broad membership. The SJC is pretty much open to anyone who wants to join. It's pretty unlimited. So in that sense, there was a lot of members with different passions. Again, really spoke to me because I was someone who was there to like amplify and support and be there, help organize, offer my hand. So it felt like the right place for me. And I really loved getting involved with grassroots issues, people that I knew and groups that I cared about, you know, sharing in solidarity with them was really important. So I got to know my community so much through that organization. And so going back to my master's program, I said, okay, the Social Justice Co-op is kind of the only co-op that I know, but I know I love it. So what are they doing that's so unique and different, and why am I so drawn to it? And so just on my own, learned about the cooperative, you know, model movement a little bit. I, you know, went on the online and spoke to people, and it wasn't a core part of my, even though I did an MBA in social enterprise, the cooperative model wasn't truly part of it, in my opinion. They did a great job at being a broad, you know, opening up the broad, again, theory and different ways that people were practicing social enterprise globally. But, you know, there just wasn't an inclusion about like particulars about the cooperative model in it. And I don't blame them for it. There was no one championing that at the time, right? And there wasn't an instructor that knew like deeply what that meant. So even though I was, you know, not getting that from that, I still felt it was valuable, right? I got an understanding about the overall picture. And I could see how co-ops played a role and were a part of that sphere as well. So I wanted to do my placement with a co-op or around co-ops. And I just came up with this idea about an incubation program because in my university, there's a couple different incubators, the Social Enterprise Incubator and the Center for Entrepreneurship at Mon also had a kind of a incubation program, Genesis Center at Mon too. So I was kind of surrounded by these, you know, this notion of being in a startup space, what an incubation meant. But I was thinking about, well, I would just like to support more co-ops, and how better to do that through like a structured program that supports them, like holds their hand through the whole process. So even though I didn't know how to go through that whole process myself, I wanted to talk to people who did. So I pitched the idea of doing research to the NL Federation of Co-ops in the fall of 2021. And they were on board. Dave, that's when I met Dave. And I applied for like to get a student placement in order to, you know, pay for my role. So yeah. And so I did that with them, got the MyTax funding. If you're familiar with that, it is a Canadian organization. So students can apply for MyTax grants. And it's very helpful. So anyways, I did the research project on incubators around the world in cooperatives. I also looked at just general like social enterprise oriented incubators as well to learn from them, and combined my learnings. I also just spoke to co-ops in the community. That was my first time just getting to know some of the co-ops in the province. And anyways, also say I did produce like a report. I was really pleased with it. The board at the NLFC was pleased with it. So we just created a role for so I could actually push it forward. I was really excited. And I think I wouldn't be here without just the experiences I had prior. So even though, you know, it wasn't like a perfect fit being in business school or even the master's, like I felt like I was eventually led that way because I was pretty, you know, consistent with finding values-based opportunities. So that propelled me forward in finding where I am now.
Now, tell me a bit about your values and what has been guiding you through your post-secondary education and the road, you know, the road that you've taken, because my view is that for many people, what draws them to the co-op sector is the alignment with values, you know, of caring about community. This is a cooperative principle, right? Giving back, working with each other. There is the democratic part of one member, one vote. But I also think that communication, community, more and more these days, you know, people and planet before profit. This is essential given the state of the climate around the world, and wanting to do things differently to actually be part of a business as a worker co-op, being a worker owner where you have agency, right? Where you own something that's meaningful to you. So, and I feel that these are some of the things that would draw young people today to the sector as we raise awareness, is to talk about alignment of values. So what are the thread of values that have guided you?
Yes. I think the word agency that you brought up really resonates. Because what I've always believed is that people have more power than they think, have more abilities than they think. And even if we are struggling or lacking in some respects, we can find that with each other. So no one has to kind of be the holder of everything. And I think that's okay. So I think I've just leaned upon my community a lot in my past and currently, and I think that just speaks to how we ought to live in our communities. Is leaning on each other, mutuality is big. So During the, you know, years that I was in the social justice co-op, I participated in a lot of mutual aid activities. And to me, that guided me along a path of understanding that sometimes, you know, cooperatives can be like the values of cooperatives. We can talk about them informally, and that sometimes gets across to people a lot more. So the informal nature of mutual aid societies or just initiatives are great because people get it. It's like, I put something in and I might get something out. I'm just putting in good, something good that someone needs. And in the case that I might need something back, there's more people that know and you know, care about me. So we had a, like, I'm sure you remember this. We had like a revolution of care manifesto at the social justice cooperative. So literally reading down that, I feel as soon as I saw that, that became, you know, what I then leaned on going forward.
Kristen, share with our listeners about that revolution of care. What did it espouse? In a nutshell.
I haven't looked at it in a little bit. I want to refresh my memory. It's really a movement on compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And to, you know, go against the function that capitalism has on our society. So the reliance on self as being the only, you know, the only most important thing. I wish I was more eloquent with this, but just essentially generosity, compassion,
right,
mutuality, and solidarity is pretty much the, in summary, what the revolution of care is about.
And I remember as you were talking about mutual aid, projects that came up a few years ago during the pandemic, which were community mm-hmm. fridges. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I remember talking to a gal in Calgary in particular who was leading the charge, and they were springing up all over the country, actually. And the whole idea of, making these fridges available, people can take what they need, community members pitch in to help, you know, add food, clean the fridge, make the area safe. It was a real example of mutual yeah. aid. And I can't remember her name, but the gal in Calgary went on to create sort of a clothing store that mm-hmm. was sort of on the same thing. You know, take what you need, give back as you can. No judgment, low barrier. And that's another example there. If, you know, we know this business not as usual campaign is aimed at young people 18 to 35 to help them find a place for themselves, to learn about the co-op sector, to find resources, to find each other. What would you say to young people today about why, how they could possibly get inspired by the co-op unit, co-op sector rather, what is the message you would want to get out there to help the campaign grow and to invite more people in? Because again, the younger generation has to take up the mantle as older cooperators are, you know, retiring and doing, you know, into another part of their lives.
Well, the cooperative movement is just that, it's a movement. And so it's a big wave, and it needs to be strengthened, it needs to be strengthened with young people that are bringing new perspectives and voices to it. What it has been in the past has really seemed to serve people over the course of history in various ways. But that has been, you know, with the realities of like political sphere, the financial sphere, cultural. So there's lots of reasons for the cooperative movement being valuable in time. And right now, I think we need it more than ever. We're experiencing so much fragmentation in our world, but almost a collective pulse too. There's people that are, everyone is kind of more in tune than they ever have with each other about the struggles that are facing so many. We've realized that there are so many pathways to finding one another, to share in our, you know, share in joy and grief all at once, or whatever the case is, we can find each other. And I think what we need to do now is, now that we have more access to finding each other, we need to do something with that. That is a power in and of itself, that capitalism and these oppressive, you know, structures want us to avoid, is just the coming together and also the action that we can have together. So I think a lot of young people now should look at the cooperative movement as, you know, another, I don't know how to say this, but, you know, in life that we see ourselves going through certain stages, you know, going through, you know, a lot of it revolves around school and education, and of course, personal milestones as well. But I think, again, the cooperativism, you know, that whole notion of cooperativism can bleed into all of these parts of our lives and have incredible positive impacts. I mean, we can practice cooperating with one another on a familial level or a neighbor level, or you know, our city, our you know, the programs that we engage in our cities and communities, the you know, the friendships that we have. I think you know, there's so much that we can, more that we could be doing that will better benefit everyone, including ourselves. Everyone wants to be, you know, have their needs met, but I don't think that anyone wants, I mean, a lot of people don't want that to be at the expense of others. And I think we want to, ultimately, we all want to just thrive and have a good time while we're on Earth. Hey?
That was Kristen Murray, a passionate advocate for co-ops and how young people can find fulfillment in the sector. These days, she's busy helping new co-ops get off the ground in her work with the Newfoundland and Labrador Federation of Co-ops. That's it for this edition of Each for All, the Cooperative Connection. Thanks to my fellow cooperator, Joshua Peterman, for putting all the pieces together. I'm Sandy Goldman. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and have a cooperative week.
The world today can be a scary place. Hard to keep your faith in the human race. We're running out of trees and we're running out of space, but we'll never run out of good people. Asking for a shovel and they'll dig you a hole. Put the cubby on, drag you in from the cold. If you get lost, they'll show you where to go. Even give you a ride, good people. Good people aren't hard to find. They're right around the corner at the end of the line. It's true. Good people got peace of mind. And I'd like to spend some time with you. place. Hard to keep your faith in the human race. We're running out of trees and we're running out of space, but we'll never run out of good people.